listening to a Hip Hop Digest special interview with King Killer, Kurt G, and E Green.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it is your man, E Green. So what's going on, fellas?
What's good? What's
good? You want to know what's really good?
What's good?
King Killer says the interview series.
So that means we got somebody on?
Yo, we got Mahogany Jones on here today.
Uh-oh.
Woo-hoo. How you doing,
hey,
Mom?
What up, what up, what up? I'm great. So good to get to chat with y'all on a Friday evening. So,
yes.
Yeah, you made the time for us.
Yes, you did.
Oh, no, whatever. Y'all made the time for me. Thanks for having me.
No, that's a dig at somebody that don't want to get on the show.
Yeah, they listen all the time, but they don't want to.
Well, they done missed it out. They done missed it, and I'm happy to
take
receive the opportunity.
No doubt. So, King Killer, do you want to do the honors?
All right. So, on this show, before we get into anything deep, you got a couple of questions. The first question is your personal top three MCs.
Oh, man, you done boiled it down to top three.
That's it.
That's wicked. I don't even get five. I don't even get 10. You going to make me do three? Man,
three
y'all
at
rough.
This moment.
This is rough.
And we're going to give it to you like this. It's any three you want. It could be three people down your block that nobody knows except for you. Just three people.
Your personal,
three.
My personal three. Okay. I would have to say right now there's a rapper who I really admire. His name is Saba. I really like him. And if I could, yeah, I like Saba. Man, okay, of the greats, I would definitely say Andre 3000. And if I get one more, oh man, it's between, okay, so this is hard for me. Nah, it's not. Man, I only get three. You guys are not fair.
That's all you getting. So you got one more to give us.
All right. Biggie.
Biggie. All right. All right.
Okay. No doubt. And the next question is, what was the first rap record, CD, cassette, whatever, that you bought with your own money?
Oh, that's good. Okay, so I kind of cheated. My family was in the music business, and I know the first cassette that I got, and it was MC Lyte's first album, and I got that boy on cassette, and my all my friends at school was jelly, and I got all the exclusives. And I was like, So yeah, but that was the first like hip-hop record that I ever got. And I think the first album that I brought with my money might have been Black Sheep. Might have been a Black Sheep joint. Or De La Soul. Either one.
Okay.
Can't lose.
Can't lose with either one of those.
All right. No doubt. Official hip hop. So anyway, like I was saying, welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. So what I want you to do is go ahead and let the listeners know straight away, Mahogany Jones, what's the deal? What do they need to know?
Well, so definitely said my name. I've been an MC for about 17 years.
Oh.
I have three albums out that are available where all digital media outlets sell music. And I've done three mixtapes and working on new music right now. Currently, I'm back. I'm an East Coaster again, so I'm based now in New Jersey. But I spent a great deal of time in Detroit, about 15 years in Detroit. I love Detroit. And yeah, those are all cool things. I did a TED Talk recently that was really bomb. What else? I mean, it could be many things. I guess one of my claim to fame was back in the day when BET's 106 in Park Freestyle Friday was out. I was a four-time freestyle champion. I'm an arts educator, and I teach emceeing and poetry and performance, and lastly, a U.S. musical ambassador. And so I basically get shipped by the United States of Culture to different countries and represent hip hop culture to build people to people connections. So that's it. It's lots. So
that's it?
Wow. I mean, there's other stuff, but
that's all you're doing? So, come on,
those
son.
Are basic.
You gotta give us more than that. Come on, that's it.
And lastly, I started a nonprofit called A Pure Movement. Just in efforts, I guess the conversation wasn't even something that I really wanted to entertain. I think a lot of times as a woman, that is what's highlighted over my skill. And I feel like, you know, I worked a long time to develop my skill set. And so for the first thing to kind of be prominent is the fact that, you know, it's my genitalia. It's kind of, you know, it's frustrating. And so from that, for the past 5 years, kind of sparked an initiative to create music and media content that has people entertain a different conversation around women and the contribution of women. And so our organization does events around domestic violence, sexual assault awareness, as well as curriculum for like girls mentorship programs. And so I have my curriculum is now in like 4 schools in Detroit, and just encouraging young girls to like be, you know, goal setters and to really chase after, you know, what it is that's in their heart and to, you know, be fully self-expressed. So yeah, it's been good times.
Well, I want to ask you off the break, because you know, I have 3 daughters myself. And they are 27, 21, and 16. Fresh 21,
yes.
Too, by the way.
Wow.
But so as they were growing up, specifically the 21 and 16, I was very careful of what was getting into their ears as far as hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that if I was a father now, like a fresh new father now, because I am a father, but I'm saying if I was just to become a father, it'd be a little bit harder for me to try to do that. So what are some of the things that you can, that you are doing as far as trying to get past, and excuse, but it's on the radio, the bitch and hoe money car shit?
You know, I just, you know, and it's so funny because I remember I was super dogmatic. I was, you know, as far as like that whole thing went, I was definitely like the dead prez of like hip-hop and misogyny. I was definitely like coming out all guns blazing, like upset, frustrated, like I'm not listening to it, you know. But you know, the reality is it's not necessarily about that not being available. It's just about creating an alternative and an option. You know, I have the pleasure of working alongside I love her. She's amazing. Her name is Piper Carter. And she had an initiative, or has an initiative. Now it's called We Found Hip-Hop, but initiative is called The Foundation. And that's it. You know, we realized like we did different things to kind of promote women in media and in hip hop. And it's just about a variety, and it's just about choices being offered. And I think it's about people knowing that there's choices. I think if men didn't want it, I think that women wouldn't be so eager to provide it. And I think that if women weren't so eager to provide it and like maybe just did a, you know, just said, nah, this is the standard, that perhaps it would shift, you know, the way that the content that men created, because you even see women being mad misogynist, you know, a misogynist, kind of, you know. So it's like, okay, why is that making money?
We could go into that. That would be a 4-hour discussion, actually.
Man. Listen.
Wow, that's pretty lofty. I'm gonna get to your music here. I listened to your last release earlier today, and you know, to say it's an understatement to say, okay, here I got a nice, you know, female MC. That's to me besides the point, but nice, you know what I'm saying? But just nice, you know, lyrical. There's a lot of meat on the bone, a lot to listen to. It's funny, I don't know. And I'm trying to get your thoughts on this. I don't know, are we ever going to get out of the Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown, Nicki, Cardi B?
I mean, you know what?
I'm not mad at that. I mean, but at some point, are we going to get other choices in the mainstream besides that?
And you know what's interesting is I feel like... I wrestle with this, you know, and I you know, I myself and you know, my peers or, you know, my team or even my fiance and I, like, we talk about, like, okay, well, what is that next place? And, you know, what is your place? And are you, how much bend are you going to give in order to really have platform? And just realizing that it's like, okay, it's different planes of options, and people go, you know, it's like I look at a No Name or, you know, even a Rhapsody, you know, and it's sad because even with the push of a Roc Nation as her management, it's still kind of like I could talk to 10 kids on the block and be like, Rhapsody who, you know, but at the same extent, you know, she's selling out shows, people like her music, you know, No Name is getting, like, you know, notoriety. She's been doing shows with Chance and with Saba. So it's really all about, like, you know, I learned this, and I think before I had a mind state where it's like, yo, I want everybody to be my market. And it's just like, everybody's not going to be my market. It's like, but if I'm able to identify and put my finger on my market, then I'll never go broke a day in my life. And we just have to understand that, you know, will the mainstream get, you know, will we ever get a Lauryn Hill? I hope we do. You know, I hope we get many. You know, you think about our era. And it was so many options and representations of what a woman could and could be. You know, you could be a Brat, you could be a Missy, you could be Lauryn, you could be Left Eye. You know, it was all these different shades and variations. And now that's not the case. And that's definitely an agenda. I think the same thing for what it means, you know, to be a black man in hip hop. It's like, man, you know, this is your costume. Like, this is who you get to be. This is how you get to be represented. And that's it, you know? And it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's definitely intentional, you know? So until we as people are willing to demand something different, we got what we got.
Well, yeah. I guess
take a little. Let me stop.
There's been a space for that demand for many, many years. So it looks like it may be quite a few more years before that demand takes place.
Listen.
I'm just gonna say. I mean, you know, as nice as you are, and it's a compliment. I'm gonna give you a compliment. I always wonder, like, wow, you know, it would be so easy for you to do other forms of music. You could do that easily.
Agreed.
You know,
I've definitely, you know, I think that's, you know, I have a song on my project called Gold, you know, and it speaks to that. You know, it's like, want to make a fortune, go and spin a wheel, let's make a deal. Don't you want a deal? Don't you want to know how to make a meal? Because you think it's all the meal, eating $100 meals. They tripped to Brazil, but you can count on trail. It's like, yeah, I want to know all that, but not at the expense of not being, you know, true to who I am and what I believe. And what I believe in, and just knowing that there's somebody else in the world that, you know, feels how I feel, or, you know, feel how I feels the same way that I feel, or believes in what I believe in. And, you know, it's just on, it's kind of like as an educator, I realize that sometimes I'll get frustrated because my students don't take something seriously. But when it's all said and done, when I go home, I realize, like, okay, my birth name's Sharice. So it's like, you know, Sharice, you could feel some type of way that, you know, they didn't really give focus or they didn't really take it as serious as you took it. But at the end of the day, it's on you to inspire them. So whatever tricks you have to come out of your bag, you have to figure that out. So it's that balance between, okay, I'm keep giving this to you. You don't like it like this. What do I do? Or maybe I just go to somewhere, you know. It's hard. It's a hard dance. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's rough. We're all like, damn, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. I feel your frustration, but like you said, if you keep just plugging away, you never know which one of those kids is actually hearing you. They may be looking like they're not paying attention, but they're actually taking it in. But just fronting for the rest of the students, but they're taking in what you're saying. And yeah, it may just turn out to be the next Common or somebody like that.
And we'll see, you know, and I think that's something that, you know, I'm appreciative of my, you know, peers that I see that is just like, ride your wave, ride your lane, you know, to see these young kids are kind of showing us the way. You know, you look at the quirky models of like, okay, this is who I am and I'm not going to adapt. Like, this is my wave and you're going to want to jump on it because this is it. You know, it's just, again, just a matter of finding that tribe and putting your finger on that tribe, you know, and it feels good, you know, talking to you. It was, first of all, it's just, it's awesome and it's comfortable to talk to you and for you not to be like, Black Sheep, who? What? What's that? You know, and for you to say like, oh yeah, I have a daughter, she's 21. I have a daughter, she's 27. And realizing that, you know, our generation is growing up, you know, and you go to a Rolling Stone concert and who's there? Three generations. You know, it's grandpa, it's daddy, and it's the son. And I think that as people of color, we have to embrace that what we create can't be so disposable. And I'm not willing to believe that, you know, our genre is only available to, you know, to 21-year-olds. It's like, I'm grown, and you know what? It's like, I like to turn up just like the next person, but really? Am I really going to be turning up? Like, is that my first choice of music all day long? No, because it's mindless after a while. It's like, it just doesn't feel good. It's like, okay, you're going to have me for about an hour, 2 hours. After that, I can't. I want to understand what's being said to me.
Okay, so you just pointed out something very prickly on the show. And we've been doing this show for a lot of years, and we find, and I don't know when I can actually pinpoint when this happened, but we find that this current generation is the generation that does not, on any circumstance, like their parents' music. So I give the example of, I grew up, you know what I'm saying? I like Al Green. I like Earth, Wind, and Fire. I love SOS Band. That's all my parents' music, but I love that music. So
okay.
at the backyard barbecue, you know, if they rocking, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I'm good, you know? And then
now we are. When I was, okay, I'll tell you a story. Picture it, Sicily, 19, I'm just joking. No, really, like I remember road trips to Florida. My mother would play Keith Sweat. And she played Make It Last Forever, the album Make It Last Forever. And it would drive me crazy. I'm like, oh, mommy, cut that off. Now, favorite album. You know, I think about other things. You know, I remember this Ashford and Simpson song, Solid as a Rock. When I was little, I hated that song. And now as an adult, I love it. It's one of my favorites. So I think that, what does that say? I feel like there are some kids who love Tupac, who love Jay-Z. Imagine Jay-Z being old school. Hilarious. You know, but, you know, it's kids who like it. And then there's kids who, they don't get it now, but they'll get it later.
Yeah, another thing we talk about constantly is that we probably should have categories within hip-hop because, first of all, let's just take rap because a lot of the stuff that's on the radio is just rappers if we want to give them that. But even with that, we need categories because it's okay to rap about the trap. Mm-hmm. It's okay to rap about whatever. But because we don't have the diversity commercially, it makes it seem like everything that's on the radio is what hip hop is, but that's just not the fact at all. And I don't think that it's wrong for kids to do what they're doing. We made hip hop. You know what I'm saying? We turned away from our parents. We liked our parents' music, but we turned away from it to get our own thing. So these kids now have turned away and they're doing their own thing. So the issue is like we keep calling that, well, not we, but you know, commercially it's called hip hop, but it's you're not consuming hip hop when you listen to any said rapper on the radio.
I mean, I think the sad thing is this, is that in regards to knowledge of, you know, the principles that hip hop was based on, you know, knowledge of self or peace, love, unity, and having fun. It just, you know, it just looks different. You know, this generation has to deal with and cope with so much. And, you know, in their own way, they're, you know, even though it to us, it's destructive and it is destructive. I ain't gonna hold you up. But it's their way of coping. You know, you think about so many emo rappers or, you know, you see these young kids and they're, you know, they're zoned out on Xanax or whatever it is that they're, you know, this whole new drug culture. But they're just really finding an outlet and they're trying to cope and they're just trying to figure things out. And this, you know, just like hip hop was for us, you know, people thought, you know, it was like we were solely a culture that was just full of angst and rage. And, you know, that's kind of what gave hip hop its thing. And I think in a lot of ways made hip hop not something cool for women to be a part of because it was so herbs so aggressive. And I think the two were just hard to be in alignment. But yeah, you know, and I think too, you know, we sleep on these kids and these, you know, this next generation who's carrying the torch. And you think about the cadences and you think about the first of all, ad-libbing is a whole new science. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you listen to these ad-libs, it's like, yo, the ad-libs alone make the song fire. Like, how they figured out to, like, you know, take these complex patterns of speech and, like, literally become another part of the track in ways that, you know, we weren't. It's dope to me, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like, you know, they get it's content, but it's on us, you know what I'm saying? Just coming from my faith. It's a scripture that says, you know, that the older is supposed to teach the younger. And we drop the ball. You know, if we're not hearing what we want to hear is content-wise, it's because we did not take the proper responsibility to pour into this generation in a way that they will make content that matters.
No doubt.
Well, I certainly believe that it is definitely our fault in that, you know, in the aspect of that. But being the case, at some point in some time, somebody has to stand in the gap.
True.
No matter, true, you know, whether if it's, true, you know, the, whether the horse is already out of the barn, somebody, yeah, you know, has to stand in the gap and at least try to educate. And that's all. I think I'm not against. One thing I never do, I never try to convince a young guy that the music that I'm going to listen to is cool or better. That's an impossible, mm-hmm, task. Mm-hmm. That is that's totally impossible task. Mm. But what I do is I'm going to continue to stand on the principles. Mm-hmm. You know, hip hop is music, but then there I grew up with a set of principles.
Principles. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what I'm going to get across to, and that's what we do on this show. We stand on a set of principles. So. Mm-hmm. You know, the music that you're into now, if you're into a commercial form of music, the minute that changes, you're going to have to change.
Mm. And I think, you know, I think you said something commercial. You know, when you think about commercial, you think about commodity. When you think about commodity, what do you think about? You think about a factory because things are manufactured. And I think what's sad is that we have not been able to communicate that being your authentic self is cool and acceptable. You know, you have to be packaged a certain way in order to be accepted. And it's like, you know, everybody talks about they don't care. You're lying. We all care. We all want to be accepted. And it's just sad that we haven't figured out a way to say, hey, who you are as you are is great. And that's exciting. You know, people don't buy rap music. People don't buy rock music. People buy a lifestyle. People buy, I want to be like that. You know, even if that is not real. And so it's like, what can we do to make real good again? You know what I'm saying? Or make real, like, oh, this is what you want to be.
And you know what? So I've been trying to digest all of this that you and Kinkler was just saying right there. But I don't really take the blame. It's a choice. Mm. Because as much as we got a Tekashi 6ix9ine and all these other people like that, they choose to do that. You know why I say that? Because we also have people that we listen to at our 50-something-year-old selves that there are dudes that are in their 20s and younger than that that are making what we consider real hip-hop. So and they're choosing to do it, just like these other folks are choosing to get a 360 or a 7 whatever deal, whatever they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do. And they're doing it, right? They're getting it. But you have a big crit or somebody like that who is extremely talented, but they're not on the radio 6,000 times a day.
Yeah.
And he still makes a choice to make the kind of music that he makes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think one thing I'm going to pick up on is she said about a commodity, and unfortunately I am going to use women MCs, you know, currently, just how literally, you know, and I'm not a proponent of either young lady because I particularly don't care about their art in that way, but the Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, it's such a product. I mean, that Nicki is a product, okay? She's off the shelf now, insert Cardi B. I mean, for rightly or wrongly, and most women in that situation, obviously, you know, if they have commercial success, they're going to go for it. I get it, you know. I don't have a problem with that, but it's displayed just incredibly when it comes to women visible at the top of the charts. Not the Rhapsodies, not the No Names, not the, any of the other people that, you know, we can name. But so, yeah, I think that is also important, too. The kids are buying everything. It's the entire package that they're buying. Mm-hmm. Again, they're not buying CDs. They're not buying records. They're just buying what is given to them on the shelf of music.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Kurt G, you kind of quiet over there. What you just soaking up everything, man?
I'm just taking it in. I'm just listening to everything and soaking everything in right now. She's speaking a lot of things to truth right here. And everything that she's saying, I'm listening. I'm like, damn. A lot of the things that she's saying, we talk about on the show, a lot of the shit that you're saying, we talk about that on the show as far as the difference in these kids' image and everything that they're selling on themselves. You're like, yeah, you're really just an image. You're nothing more than just an image.
That's it. You're just, you know, people are so image driven, you know, and I can't front, you know, I think it's something that, you know, even as an adult, I really wrestle with, you know, but I think, you know, that is something that we need to let young people know, because they just feel the pressure. You know, you see these young kids and it's like, it's sad, but I feel like our media bullies young people. Media bullies us, you know, into believing that we need to buy certain things and believe that we have to look a certain way, be a certain way in order to be cool, you know. And it's like, oh my God, could you imagine? It was just like, I just think about how I looked and who I was like as a teenager. Oh, thank God for the, you know, for some form of a glow up. But I mean, the pressure of like an Instagram, or, you know, the pressure of, you know, a Snapchat, like, man, you got to give me play by play every 5 minutes what's happening in your life. And you got to just have on a fresh coat of lip gloss on top of it, or just have on the newest kicks, you know, just to make sure that you look good and everybody sees you look good. And you get a whole bunch of people who you don't even know, who are not even really invested about you, to say that you look and you sound good. My gosh, that's a lot of pressure, man.
It's a terrible thing. It is a real terrible thing. And you understand why a lot of these kids, God forbid, commit suicide.
Because
they're put in a position where if they're born in a household that's low income and they can't afford all of that stuff,
they're
looked at as being just bums.
You know, and it's so much. I mean, overall, like I said, I feel like our generation, or this, you know, this upcoming generation, is struggling with, you know, just definitely struggling with identity, and, you know, just drowned in a lot of anxiety, you know. So it's like, I think those two things, you know, take us to the kind of music that we're hearing now, because everybody just wants to escape. You know, I think,
no doubt,
you know, back in the day, you know, or not back in the day, but in the golden era, it was like, no, I want to face what's happening. I want to know what's happening. I need you to know what's happening. And I think we've shifted into a space where it's just like, yo, I'm drowning in way too much reality. I have the news at my fingertip, at my access every 2 seconds. Every 2 seconds, I'm finding out that somebody's dying. I can go on Facebook and watch somebody get killed live. Mm. Like, man, it's just too effing much. Like, let me just escape somewhere where it's just not real.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. But let me ask you this. Let's turn it towards you again for a second here. You said you've been in the game for like 19 years. What made you get into it, and what has carried you through these years?
So I've always loved writing. I love storytelling. Like I said, my family was in the music business. I never thought I would do music though. But I always loved poetry. And so I just kind of, I was like, I'll be like Maya Angelou or Nikki Giovanni, and I'll have a poetry book. And I would just write poetry incessantly. And when I went to college, I met a woman when I was working at Universal, and I met this woman, her name was Ariana. And I was like, yo, I'm a poet. And I did my poem for her, and she was like, yeah, that's trash. You need to go to New York Poets Cafe every Friday, and you need to read some more. And I was like, okay, bet. And so I had become disenchanted with hip hop. You know, the era of commercialized hip hop had started to kind of seep into things. And I stopped listening to the radio. And then one night I was listening to some underground radio station. I was listening to jazz. I think it was NPR, oddly enough. And then some, like, it shifted. It was like late at night. And then all of a sudden I heard like this underground hip hop. And I was like, what is this? What manner of music is this? It's poetic. It's deep. Like, it's they using double entendres and metaphors. What's going on? What? And, you know, it was like the whole company flows. And it was the best thing that I had ever listened to. And then just lo and behold, I actually, because I lived in New York, you know, I was able to go to your SOBs. I was able to go to Wetlands. I was able to just hit up different like spots where like it was going down and these artists were just burgeoning on their careers. And I just loved it. I loved cyphers outside at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was freezing cold. I just loved being around that energy and was like, oh, I think I want to merge poetry and music, and this is how I want to do it. And so, yeah, I was about 20 and was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to tell stories.
Wow.
You real hip hop.
Something like that.
Wow, that's incredible. So what I want to know is for the Digest listeners, if you had to recommend, could be on your new project or any of the three that you got out, three joints. Again, we work in threes on this show.
I like it. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, three joints that the Digest listeners, you know, I ain't got a lot of time or whatever. Just give me three records I should check out from you. Your favorites.
Okay, so I got an album called Morph, and on this album called Morph, I have a song called, I think it's called I Hate Everything. and so I like that joint, and I know that sounds crazy. And then from my latest album, Sugar Water, I have two songs that I really like. One is, okay, I'm cheating. Can I cheat? Can I make it three? I'm cheating. And then y'all can do whatever you want to do with them. So Insight is one, Gold is another, and Bring Back the Soul.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to wrap up soon here, but I have one last deep question for you.
Sure.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So being the attractive young lady that you are.
Yes.
Has that been, and she's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, I know that. You ain't saying nothing I already don't know.
I see a mirror, nigga. I know. Has that been a hindrance to you or a plus in your hip-hop career?
I honestly would say that it is somewhat of a hindrance because no matter where I go, no matter how long I've been doing this, anytime I go somewhere, oh, you sing? No, I don't sing. Oh, you gonna do some poetry? Not today. Like, you know, so, and literally, I just did a set like maybe 2 months ago, and this young man came up to me and was like, I have to admit, I just give you so much props because I saw you and I just thought you were gonna sing something, and then you just, oh man, that was dope. You know, so I was like, okay, you know, so I'm somewhat of a hindrance, and I think especially because it's important to me to maintain my femininity. I think that I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to be one of the boys. I am assertive and I have a human experience that I think is valid, and I want to share that and be respected and just have fun. You know, I don't feel like I got to prove something. So yes, I think it's been somewhat of a hindrance, but I'm grateful because ain't nothing better than, you know, I enjoy being attractive. So yes.
No doubt. We just don't want to see you go from where you are now to no Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to call you on it.
You won't catch me half naked in these streets. Now, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit of sass now. I like a little bit of sass.
Oh, of course.
You won't catch me, you know, with no nipple hanging out. Or you won't
don't
catch
do
me
it.
On the, yeah, you won't catch me on my boss vibe either. I'm definitely not about the polar opposites. I'm definitely a woman.
Okay. All right.
We don't want to see you out on no Prince Rogers Nelson. Jazz.
No,
out.
You won't.
No doubt. So with that said, let's tell the listeners where they can find you again, because, you know, they might have got caught up in something else you said. Tell them where they can find your music and all of that.
Y'all, my name is Mahogany Jones. Please follow me at my website. That's MahoganyJones.com. or hit me up on Instagram. I'm definitely a follow backer, and I'm definitely engaging, pretty cool. And that's MAHOGANYJONZ, and that's an at sign in front of it.
All right. That's what's up. So we appreciate you being on the Hip Hop Digest show.
This was awesome. You guys are great.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
No doubt. Thank you guys so much. This was awesome. Now I can't wait to go back and like troll.
Oh, Lord. And I'll definitely send you the link once we get it put up. And it'll be maybe next week, middle of next week or something like that, possibly. But I'll definitely get it to you whenever we do. And you can let a couple of people hear it if you want to.
I'm going
to
let people hear it. I'm a sharer.
Okay. So you're back on the East Coast. You're getting your accent back.
Yes, I am. I'm back. No, I'm just joking.
Brick City.
Yes, most definitely.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No doubt. Appreciate you guys. Y'all have a great weekend, and just hit me up whenever.
All right.
Done.
All right, good night.
All right, good night.